From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park, we are live from the NPR studios in Midtown Manhattan. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, big words. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. It's Thursday, March 6th, 2008. Big words, big fashion.
Yeah, on Project Runway. Unfortunately for some people, the secret's out about the winner. Trisha tried to, our editor tried to hold it back, but she saw it on a website. She was trying to wait.
Do we say? No, we're not going to say.
Oh, we're not going to say? Okay. What do you think? What's the vote from the control room? Thumbs up. Spoiler alert. All right. Who won?
Christian.
Christian. He knew he was.
I know,
prodigy.
It's not really a big surprise, but for people who follow the show, this was a spunky guy. He was like the crowd's most popular, and he was really talented.
And he was really fierce.
Really fierce.
To quote Tim Gunn about him. But one of the things, if you're probably wondering, why are they talking about Project Runway? I mean, why are some of our reality shows? This is the reality show where I think you need to have a degree in English and American literature to understand one of its hosts.
Or
Tim
at least
Gunn.
Have studied really hard for the vocab section of your GRE.
This is what we mean. Let's listen to Tim Gunn describing some of the fashion on Project Runway.
When I first approached this, I was ambivalent about it.
You came in and placated me, at least.
Constructivist, amorphous, contrivance.
Misapprehension.
Egregious.
Quotient.
Anemic.
Congratulations.
I think all that sturm und drang was worth it.
I love Tim Gunn.
There was one contestant who said, I need a dictionary to understand that guy. So we suggest you check out Project Runway.
Indeed. But we're going to talk about some other stuff. Lots of good things coming up on the show. A meeting of a different kind of Congress, not the U.S. Congress, the National Congress of American Indians. We've heard about a lot of different demographics and constituencies ahead of this year's campaign and election. We're going to talk about Native Americans. What's on their agenda heading into this year's election?
Think about this. The Democrats could head to their convention without any clear nominee. It could come down to superdelegates, a history of brokered conventions with Peter Carlson from the Washington Post.
And a couple of guys on a mission across America to fix typos on public signs. I wonder what their vocabulary is like. Their grammar's probably very good. They'll be in the studio this morning to give us the lowdown on how they're doing with that little project. I'm going to walk you through the day's headlines in just a minute. And of course, we have the most this hour too. But first,
Florida and Michigan want a do-over. With Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton locked in a tight race for the Democratic nomination, the two states whose primaries didn't count may try to hold new contests that do.
Florida and Michigan were stripped of their delegates by the Democratic Party after the states moved their primaries ahead of February 5th without permission. That means candidates did almost no campaigning there, and the primaries held in the two states were awarded no delegates.
The Republican Party punished the states as well, but only took half of the delegates away. Since then, the states have been lobbying to have all their delegates seated. That's an effort supported by Hillary Clinton's campaign, since she technically won both states. She was actually the only major Democrat on the ballot in Michigan.
So if the party bosses won't count the Florida and Michigan results, the governors of those states have an alternate solution. Florida Governor Charlie Crist and Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm say they're willing to hold do-over primaries by June. Crist addressed the media yesterday.
People of Florida voted January the 29th. They voted legally. And, you know, some party boss in Washington decided that they were not going to have the people's voice be heard. Are you kidding me?
Well, that party boss, Democratic Party Chair Howard Dean, spoke to NPR yesterday. He said the party is open to negotiating some solution with Florida and Michigan, but it must be done within established rules.
We're not interested in disenfranchising Florida and Michigan voters. They're important to us. But what we are saying is we have to be respectful of the other 48 states who stuck by the rules, played by the rules, and we most certainly have to be respectful of the candidacies of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who knew what the rules were, and changing the rules halfway through the game is incredibly unfair to both of those candidates, and frankly would split the Democratic Party. so we're not going to do it.
And while Florida and Michigan want to vote again, Texas just stopped its voting. The primary was on Tuesday, but because of what's been called the Texas two-step, voters have a caucus right after the primary. And the caucus awards a third of the state's delegates.
Hillary Clinton won the primary, but with 40% of the caucus vote counted, Obama is winning nearly 56% of that turnout. If that margin holds, Obama would end up with three more Texas delegates than Clinton.
And it brings to mind the age-old riddle. If a caucus finishes after the media has declared a winner, does it make a sound? Think about it. Now let's get to some more of today's headlines.